Okay, good morning. We're holding Shabbos Daf Kuf Chav Beis Amud Beis at the Sudats about Elon from the bottom of the page. Today's Daf is Shabbos Daf Kuf Chav Gimel. Again, we're starting from Kuf Chav Beis Amud Beis, Elon from the bottom. Just one quick point from yesterday's Daf Lalacha that we had referenced, but we didn't get a chance to speak it out. The Mishnah yesterday discussed that an Eretz Yisrael, we had discussed 2 days ago, Yisrael Amir Lakam, instructing a guy to do something for us on Shabbos, is prohibited. We gave various reasons why it's Usher, but it's really Usher to instruct a guy to do a malacha for us on Shabbos. Yesterday's mission we added on Kuf Chavetz Baralf, we added a malacha that if a guy does something on his own, if he on his own chooses, without any Amir of Yisrael, to do something specifically on behalf of a Yid, if a guy chooses to do something on behalf of a Yid, that's also problematic. Hana from Maisa Akam is Usher as well, even without an Amir from the Yid. That was the addition of yesterday's daf. If the guy does it for himself, and then there's leftovers and it's extra, or whatever he does for himself automatically works for the yid, that's fine. As long as the guy did it for himself, that's fine for a yid to benefit from. But if the guy does it on behalf of the yid, that's a problem. So Taisus asks Akasha, and this makes a big enough alach lemaisa. Taisus asks Akasha. First of all, Taisus points out that when we say if the guy did it on behalf of a yid, it's usher for a yid. Taisus says it's not just usher for the yid who the guy did it on his behalf. It's usher for all yid. And so if the guy did it for Reuven, since the guy did it on behalf of a yid, it's usher not just for Reuven, it's usher for Shimon, for Levi, usher for all the yidin as well. But Taisus further gets a question, and he says, we had a conversation a couple of back that if a person has a fire, and a guy is coming to passing by, you cannot tell the guy, instruct him to put out the fire, that's this of a mirlakim, you can't tell him to put out the fire. However, you also don't have to stop the guy from putting out the fire. If the guy's putting out the fire on his own, one need not stop the guy. Why not? According to our Mishnah from yesterday, Kuf Chav Beis Min Aleph, that when a guy is doing an act on behalf of a yid, it's benefiting a yid. The yid's not allowed to benefit from the act of a guy, even without a mirah. So why shouldn't he have to stop the guy from putting out the fire? As a effect, Taisus, l'chur, you're benefiting from the act of a guy. You don't need a mirah. Even without a mirah, it should still be problematic. Answers Taisus big aside. There's a fundamental difference between a positive hana and a negative hana, meaning there's a hana where the guy is taking away something that's trouble, that's bothering me. He's taking away something which is negative. And then there's an hana where the guy is creating something positive, creating something new. He's creating something to benefit from directly. A classic way to differentiate is in a room which is dark, to put on a light, if the guy puts on a light, he's creating something that the yid's going to benefit from. He's creating this light, this ur. That is problematic. That's the case. That's the Mishnah, actually, the case we had in yesterday's Mishnah. If the guy puts on a light on behalf of a yid, it's a problem because the yid is benefiting from something the guy created. Whereas, if the guy was just to turn off the light, let's say the yid wanted the light off, he wants to sleep, he wants the light off. But when the guy turns off the light, the malach is putting out the fire. However, now that the guy put out the fire, the yid is not constantly benefiting from a positive act the guy did. He's benefiting from the removal. When the guy removes something, there's nothing tangible there that the yid's benefiting from that we could say, oh, he's benefiting from this act of the guy. He's benefiting from something that was removed. Over there, we don't have the same isser of hana from a ma'is akam. A big qualification in the isser of benefiting from the act of a guy. It's only when there's a positive benefit, not a negative benefit. Putting out a fire is taking away an issue. There's no inherent, obviously the person is very happy. He benefited, he appreciates what the guy did by putting out the fire. But there's no inherent, you can't attach the person's hana to something tangible right now that you're benefiting from this positive act the guy did. It's a maniyah, it's something the guy pulled away, and therefore the isser of hana wouldn't apply. This is why halach lemaisa, when it comes to a dark room, when a person wants some light, it's much more problematic to ask a guy to be meramez, even to a guy to put in the light is problematic, because even if you don't tell him outright, you won't even milak him. The guy's creating something for a yid's benefit, and if the guy's doing it just for the yid, if he's not doing it for himself, if the guy's doing it for yid, it's problematic. Even on the bedek mermiza, it's a problem. You can't benefit from the light. However, on the flip side, if one needs to have a light off, one wants to sleep, and the light's on, over there, it's much more lenient. I'm not saying everyone's matir. The guy seems to be a conflicting mashmaisis in the Mishnah Berurah, but one has on what to be tzaymech, to be meramis. Again, no outright amir or lakim. You can't tell the guy explicitly, but if he's just meramis to the guy, if the guy is smart enough and the guy chooses to put off the light by himself on behalf of the yid, over there it's much more lenient because the isra of hana from the act of a guy doesn't apply by something negative, by something that was taken away, as opposed to something that's positive. Okay, that's a big nefkin of lamaisa. So we start yesterday the perk of kokis. Started yesterday with Kokos Kalim, and Kalim is obviously the topic of Muktzah, discussing the concepts of of what's mutter to move on Shabbos, what's not mutter to move on Shabbos. So we know muksa exists. We know muksa always is gzeira d'rabbanan. Muksa is not a d'raisa, it's gzeira d'rabbanan. But we also know it goes very far back. It's not from the later rabbanan. It actually goes as far back. We know we had the story in the Gemara, I think it's around of Mem, where Shlomo Melech wanted to know, could he move David Melech's nifter Shabbos by Mincha? He wanted to know if he can move David Melech's body, and he asked the Shaila, and they told him he can move it Agav Kik or Agav Tinik. Right, that was the discussion. That was clearly an issue of muksa. We discovered this kind of muksa going back to the times of Shlomo Melech and David Melech. And we'll see later in the end of today's daf, probably we'll stop at that point, we'll get to today, but the Gemara brings the origin, the history, it starts to talk about the history of Muktzah, and it brings the origin of going back as far as Nehemiah. It goes back as far as Nevi'im. So although it's been saying against Rabbinic, it's in very early, the Gezerah took place very, very early, very, very long time ago, all the way back in the times of Nevi'im. But what is the idea behind Muktzah? So Rambam gives three basic reasons for the idea behind Muktzah. First of all, Rambam says, we have a Kal V'Chomer. We just had a couple bar ago, we had about 10 bar ago, we had this idea of the walking on Shabbos should not be the same as walking during the week. The talking on Shabbos, Dabar Dover, the talking on Shabbos not be the same as talking in the week. Says Rambam, so Kal V'Chomer, our physical activity, what we're touching, what we're moving on Shabbos, should not be the same as what we're doing during the week. Just like during the week, on Shabbos, we talk differently, we walk differently. So certainly to start moving things and rearranging furniture on Shabbos, which would be so similar to the week, that wouldn't make sense. So therefore, muksa is another form of this, of a different act to demonstrate that Shabbos is special, Shabbos is different. Furthermore, says Rambam, if we say klisha melachta le'isser is mutter to move, you make up to use it. Right, klisha melachta l'isser, a kli that can be used for asadik purposes, for building, for sewing, for baking, for whatever the melachas are. If it's mutter for me to move these kalim on Shabbos, I may come to use them on Shabbos. Therefore, muktzah is a protection against being over melacha Shabbos. That's Rambam's second reason, and Rambam's third reason is very interesting. Reason actually applies to us more and more today. Rambam brings that many people didn't do work all week long. So he seems to be talking about people that just had no jobs. But more importantly, back in the day, many jobs back in the day entailed real malachas, working the field, cultivating the field, real malachas of that would be things that we consider malachas on Shabbos. That's what people do during the week. Nowadays, most things people do, the only malachas people do is avara, lighting fires, maybe cooking, and writing with pens, if they still write, which is less common. Most things that we do are not even malachas, the races for Shabbos. So the point of Rambam is that there were always people, even back in the day, that didn't do any malachas, even throughout the week. So on Shabbos, if they refrained from malacha, with what is it nikkur, Rambam calls it a shvisa nekeres. It's got to be Shabbos, it has to be a resting, that's nikkur, that's for Shabbos. People who didn't do malacha all week, when they don't do malacha Shabbos, there's nothing making it clear that this resting is a resting for Shabbos. The gezeira of muktzah was, for those people who don't do malacha all week, to help establish this new picture that the resting on Shabbos is not just stam, punkt, he's not doing malacha. It's a resting for Shabbos, so even though muktzah is not one of the 39 malachas, obviously, it helps create this picture that the resting is a special resting, not just he happens not to be doing malacha, it's a resting for Shabbos. It's very interesting. Rambam explains elsewhere, that's the idea behind Kiddush and Avdullah. The idea behind Kiddush and Avdullah is a person can go sit on his couch for 24 hours and happen not to do any malacha. Did he keep Shabbos? The idea of making Kiddush and Avdullah is bookending that Friday night when he's stopping to do malacha, and Matzah Shabbos when he's starting to malacha again, he's demonstrating the lack of malacha in the past 24 or 25 hours was specifically a shvisa for Shabbos. It's a way to establish that it's a Shabbos resting, and at stam that he happens not to be doing malacha. So the same way Rambam explains that by Kiddush Avdullah, Rambam saying that the idea of muktzah also is to help cement that today is a different day. It's not just amatu malacha, it's specifically a day of rest, and muktzah helps create that avira. Okay, so three malachim in the Rambam, what the idea of muktzah is. Let's pick it up for the two dots. We left off two dots, eight lines from the bottom of the page on Kuf Chafez and Meiz. Night on the Kurnis. We said the Mishnah, a person can take a hammer and use it to break open a nut. So what type of hammer? Amar Rav Yehuda, Kurnis Shal Geizim L'Fatzei Abayis HaGeizim. It's the hammer that's used to, that's designated to break open nuts. That's what he could use. Alvash HaNafachim with the blacksmith's hammer. A hammer that's used by the blacksmith, which is a Klisha Melachta L'Isser. The blacksmith uses it to fashion his kalim. That's a Klisha Melachta L'Isser. To that light, that you can use. Kasavar, Davish Melachta L'Isser, Afilutzer, Gufay Asser. So big aside, Rabbi Huda obviously holds that a kli shemlach l'isser, a kli which is used for isser, even if you're using it for davar heter, we call this l'tzerech gufay. I want to use the kli for its purpose, for the hammer. I want to use the hammer, Shabbai, but not l'isser. I want to use it for heter, that's still l'isser. So kli shemlach l'isser, a kli which is typically used to just l'isser, even if I want to use l'tzerech gufay for its normal usage, but in an oifen of heter, in a way of heter, it's still going to be l'isser. Almei Rabbi says, one second, Almei Atah, Sefik Tani, our Mishnah says, Vesa Rachas, Vesa Mazleg, Lassi Salav Kachatan. He said, a person person could take a shovel that was used for winnowing or a pitchfork. These are used for either for ma'am or for other malachas. You're allowed to use it to feed a child. Are we talking about these kalim that were miyachad to use for feeding a katan? Avadanat. L'chor, these kalim are used for malach to lisser. And still, because I'm using it in an eif and hetar on Shabbos, it's permissible. Elam Rabbi, if Rabbi says, the argument says, no. Kurnishan apachim of teabai. And guys, when we talk about using a hammer to break nuts, we mean even the hammer of the blacksmith is mutter to be used to break nuts. And what's the pshat? Just suffer. Because Rabbi holds, davish malach to lisser, l'tzerech gufay mutter. Biggest side, a kli which is machl iser, even if the kli is used norm of iser, if I'm using it for a heter purpose, that is fine on Shabbos. That's taka brought lalacha. Kli machl iser is mutter l'tzerech gufay, or l'tzerech makayme. It's mutter to use it for its purpose, for which is to break up, let's say by a hammer to break open a nut. Even if the hammer is normally used for iser, breaking open a nut on Shabbos is mutter, and therefore it's permissible. Or if you need the place, if the rest is on a place and you need the spot on the table and you want to have a meal on the table, you don't want the hammer in the spot on the table, you let him move it for that as well. We'll see. That's the tzarech mekaymei. Those reasons are mutter tzarech gufay. The tzarech mekaymei are mutter to move this kli shemalach lisser. What's prohibited? What is a muksa then? Kli shemalach lisser is still muksa. Legabe, what is a muksa? It's muksa. Let's say to move it chamalatzel. Let's say the hammer is in a spot where it's in the sun and you're scared it's going to get damaged. Or it's the same idea, opposite. It's in the place where it's going to be rained on, may get rained on, or in the snow. To move it to protect it on Shabbos, that is usur. You're not using it for mutadik purpose on Shabbos. You're just trying to protect it. That would be a case where it would be usur. Okay. Eisvei. Ask Abaya a question. Eisvei Abaya Larava. Maducha. Again, we're at the top of Kufchuk and Alf. Second line from the top. Maducha. It's like a chopper. Maducha is like we were talking about a garlic crusher. Im yesh b'shem shem metalt leisa. If there's garlic inside it, then you can metalt leisa. Rashi says, well, you metalt for? Apparently, there's a big garlic chopper, and you could use it to sit on it. Let's say use it as some sort of seat. So if it has garlic in it, then it's mutter to move. Vim lav im metalt leisa. But if it doesn't have garlic in it, you can't move it. Sounds like even because it's a klishevach leiser, obviously crushing the garlic is a problem. So if it doesn't have something mutter of usage, namely garlic in it, it's usher to move even the tzarech davar. Even to use it for the tzarech gufay, for mutter purpose, sounds like it's usher, not like Rabbi's halacha. Amalei, so Rabbi spiked abay, hamanir nechemiah. You're right. That basically says that moving this garlic chopper, unless there's garlic in it, is usher. Sounds like he's been ushering it, even the tzarech gufay is usher. And it's true. You know why? It's from nechemiah. The amar nechemiah is mechudash kashita. Ain kli nitel el tzarech tashmisha. Nechemiah has a shita that kli is only mutter to move, let tzarech tashmisha. Kli can only be used for its normal sake, for its usage. To use a kli, even though you want to use it for davar hamutter, to use a kli out of its normal usage, is a problem, certainly by klisha mach lisser, and I believe Rabbi Chaim's halacha applies even by klisha mach leheter. The permissible way of using a kli is only its normal usage. Only its normal usage is mutter. Any other usage is not going to be mutter according to Rabbi Chaim. Whether it doesn't make a difference what type of kli it is. And therefore, that price can go like Rabbi Chaim. Eisvei. So Abaye said another kasha on Rabbi. Again, Rabbi's call is that a kli shemalachta leiser, even though it's designated for iser, it's used for iser. If you have an eifin of heter, a heter to way to use it now on Shabbos, it is mutter to move. So Eisvei, so Abaye asks, we'll read the parentheses quickly. With a discussion on Yomtiv, whether you had to take this ali to chop meat on it. There was a certain kli that was used for chopping meat on Yomtiv eichel nefesh's mutter. You had to use this kli to chop meat on it. V'shavin. So whether you had to take in the first b'shavin, but they both agree. Shem kitzel v'basar. Once you already used it to chop the meat on it, and now you finished. Shasal tatla. You can't metalta afterwards. Now it sounds like you can metalta for any reason whatsoever, even for a So granted, it's klisha v'lachtei l'isser once, except for eichel nefesh. He stops. I can't use the chop for other things except for food, according to Beis Hillel. But still, you should be able to move it for tzarech davar mutter. If you have any other mutter usage, you should be able to move it according to Rabba. Even klisha v'lachtei l'isser is permissible to move as long as you have a mutter usage. Again, the Mara says, the easy way out, the easy answer that Rabba could have given is the same answer which he just gave a moment ago. Rabbi Nechemia holds a kli can only be used for its usage. And over here, since you finished using it for crushing whatever it was, whatever you're chopping on Yom Tiv, so chopping anything further, which is not Yom Tiv, is prohibited. Therefore, the kli be prohibited. That would be a simple explanation, again, going with Nechemia. However, when Rabba heard this memra of Rabbi Chinna Basham in the name of Rav, and here we're going to introduce a whole Lukatsa Muktzah. Everyone agrees that by these the sichi zayim bezayri, spindles, the spindles or clothes presses. Rashi brings two malchim, what these kalim are used for. Rashi brings what malchim these kalim, and the first malchim Rashi says, these kalim are used for tzvayin, for dyeing, D-Y-E, for dyeing different colors. That's what these kalim are used for. Rashi then brings from Rabbeinu Levi, and these kalim were used for by the argam, by the weavers. Okay, but either way, these were kalim that were miyuchid for either dyeing begadim, cloths, or weaving, which are both obviously malachas on Shabbos. And even the kapra lao, he had the key words. Since the owner is makpin not to use them for other things, he's makpin, he doesn't want them to get ruined, miyachid lumakim, he designates a place for them. And since he's miyachid a place, therefore it's muksa, it's a special muksa, you cannot use it for a dover hamutina, because it's already designated for specific usage, dafka for dyeing, Ms. Kalim, or for weaving, whatever usage is, it's designated for that usage, he's miyachid a makim, and therefore even if you now happen to want to use it for something else, you cannot, for a dover hamutter, you cannot do that on Shabbos or Yom Tov, because it's considered miyachid for this iser. The fancy word for this is muktzah machmas chasaron kis. It's considered muktzah because of its value, chasaron kis machmas for its monetary value. We'll get back to that in a second. So says Rabba, once we have this memra from Rav Chinam Bar Shalmi, Mishrei Rav, this idea of muktzah machmas chasaron kis, miyach lamakam, hani nami, miyach lamakam, these ailies, after one uses them for crushing the meat, afterwards it's not used for other things. The person puts it aside and designates the tafka for this, and therefore to use it for davar mutter, klish machlis normally can be used for davar mutter. Tzerech gufay for davar mutter is permissible. However, these which are miyach lamakam, the owner doesn't want to use it for something other than its normal usage. That's considered muksa machmas chesaron kis. Now, on this idea of muktzah machmas chesaron kis. So again, the lashon is mashma, it's got to be something valuable. Pashta's value is not really the deciding factor, although Rambam does bring it. Rambam brings the halacha of muktzah machmas chesaron kis, he brings something that has value, something that has chashivas, but the Shulchan Aruch and the other Nais Kalim do not bring anything about value, and it seems like the value is not the main point. The value is just a simmon. The main point is something that a person designates for a specific usage, right? It could be as simple as a needle. He needs a needle for sewing, and he uses a dafka for sewing, and he puts it away not to be used to scrape or to be used for any other purpose. It may not be very valuable per se, but it's something which is miyachid for miyachid the makam, Agamar says. He designated a place, or it's miyachid for specific usage. That is considered a muktza machmas chesaron kis. There is a discussion whether muktza machmas chesaron kis is dafka by klishim lachtel iser, which would be the pashtas, because the klibich is melachas leheter. So if I'm allowed to use it for heter, so good, it's you want to say muktza machmas chesaron kis, but the usage that I use it for is mutter anyway on Shabbos. So even since I can use it for its main usage, which is mutter Shabbos, it wouldn't be a problem for me to use it for another heter usage of Shabbos, because it's not muktza. However, the Rekiv Eger is medayik in the Ramah that there is a problem even by klishim lachtel heter. Could be if it's designated for a specific usage. If the Bailama Makbet use it for something very specific, they designate aside. Our Gemara's lashon is miyachad lamakim. He sets a place for it. Again, not necessarily totally in how much valuable it is, but totally in how important it is to him. That would be considered muktzah machmas chesaron kis. Another point of muktzah machmas chesaron kis, the Mefarshim bring, even if it's illogical, even if the person designates a place when the place isn't necessary, it's not something which will get damaged without its miyachadik a place. But the person's overly protective. Still, the fact that he's overly protective, the fact that he designates a place, that's an indication he doesn't want to use it for anything else, and that makes a muktzah machmas chesaron kis, even if logically he had nothing to be concerned about it getting damaged. Let's say a rock, rocks muktzah anyway, it's a bad example. But whatever the case may be, something which the person is setting aside, whether or not it needs to be set aside, that would make a muktzah machmas chesaron kis. And one key point on this is, we know we typically say throughout the Masechta, Reb Shimon lasdei muktzah, machlokes Reb Shimon, legabe muktzah, one of the many machlokes in Reb Shimon in the Masechta Shabbos, one of them is whether there's a concept of muktzah. Reb Shimon, we say less than muktzah, that's not muktzah. So we've always explained in the past that Reb Shimon less than muktzah doesn't mean he disagrees with the concept of muktzah b'chlal. He just has a much less encompassing slew of what's considered muktzah. He holds that muktzah applies in much less cases, but not that he disagrees with the concept of muktzah. And one of the cases of Reb Shimon also is maskim to muktzah is muktzah machmas chesaron kis. Even Reb Shimon is maskim to the idea of muktzah. Lastly, Agamar keeps using lashon miyach lamakim, and Ramesh Feinstein himself points out that's also not a criteria. You don't have to miyach lamakim in order for it to be muktzah machmas chesaron kis. Again, like we explained by value, by monetary value. Typically, something that's valuable, a person's not going to just use for other purposes. besides its purpose, and therefore it's books machas aron kis, but it doesn't have to be valuable. So too miyachal lamakim, it doesn't have to be miyachal lamakim to be books machas aron kis. Miyachal lamakim is just another simon. If it is miyachal lamakim, that would make it books machas aron kis. But just because you're not miyachal lamakim, we're not take away the status. If it's something which is specified, it's used only for this item, a person's machmet used only for this specific usage, it would be books machas aron kis. Okay, so that's a big aside that was saying, even though klisha malachta, we have three sides today so far. Klisha malachta l'isser, we're saying is mutter according to Rabba, viewed argued, but according to Rabba, that's how Paschim, klisha malachta l'isser could be used for a mutter tikka fashion, tzarek gufay, for mutter tikka fashion, unless, Chiddush number two, it's a kli which is muksa machas aron kis. It's miachal amakim. It's a kli that's special usage. Over there, it would be also to use even for a mutter dikka purpose. Okay.
It's mentioned from the Gemara that according to the
Sheikhet's knife is a classic example. Exactly, Larry. That's a classic example. That's the place they speak out. And that sometimes that's the case they speak out with. Sometimes they're irrationally careful with it. Sometimes, obviously, you have to make sure it doesn't get nicked. But sometimes, meaning the way they're miyachad amakim for it, the way they have special cases for it. And still, the point is that it's something which is designated daft for that usage. They're never used for anything else. And that's a classic case of Muchas Machas Aron Kis, a very good example. Itmar. Rab Chibra Abba Amar Bechadam. Kurnas Shal Zavim, Shaninu. When we spoke in our Mishnah, back to the case of the hammer. When we spoke about the hammer to break nuts, we spoke about a goldsmith's hammer that could be used. Rav Shemin Shal Abba, Rav Shemin Abba says, Kurnish Babasam Shaninu. We learned that even with regard to the hammer used by the spice maker, that could also be used to break the nuts. Mark explains, Mandam Babasamim, Koshkin Davim. The one Zavim, one who said that you could use the hammer of Basamim to break nuts, certainly would hold the goldsmith's hammer. The idea being very simple. The goldsmith's hammer, if it gets some sort of smell or some sort of bad flavor from the nuts, doesn't affect you. He's a goldsmith. Whereas the Basamim, he wants his hammer to be as pure as possible. The one who says that the hammer of the use for goldsmith can be used to break nuts, he would say, maybe the hammer of the besamim, the besamim maker, is makbid, he's particular about this hammer, and therefore would be considered muksa machmas aron kis. So the one who says that you can even use the besamim hammer could hold certainly the goldsmith hammer. The one who says you can use the goldsmith hammer may hold that by the besamim hammer it can't be used. That's a kush vasakarka. We said in the Mishnah that the stick, the Mishnah discussed using these as like a toothpick. The stick of the weaver, right, could be used to spear fruits, even though for its main usage it's a klish machle iser. It could be used to spear fruit, and therefore it's okay. Tanabanim. Paga shetam b'tevin. If you have a fig that wasn't ripe, and in order to make it ripe, you buried it before Shabbos under straw. So now we're getting to really a new angle of muktzah. The question over here is going to be moving muktzah. Moving muktzah how? Moving muktzah in an indirect way. I don't care to move the muktzah. I really care to move the fruit that I want to access. Is that permissible or not? So a fig, unripe, that was buried in straw, charoshet tamim b'chalam, or a cake that was buried in the coals before Shabbos, in megul muktzasa mitl talpla. We had this earlier in the Masechta. If it's semi-revealed, you could pick it up from the spot that's revealed, and even though the coals and the straw are going to fall off the side, it's not really, you're not really moving it, you're pulling away that which was supporting it, and it falls by itself. That's how we view it. You're pulling away the support, the fruit, or this cake was supporting it, and by you pulling it away, it falls off the sides, and therefore it's not a problem. But if it's fully buried, if it's not revealed at all, then it's us to be, because in order to get to it, you have to move away muktzer. Even if it's not exposed at all, you could spear it. Back to our mission's idea, you could stick into it like a toothpick, use like a spear into it, and lift up the item you want, the fruit, the fig, or the cake, and the muktzah falls off by itself around it, which is a classic idea of tiltul menatzad. You're not directly moving the muktzah, you're indirectly causing it to be moved, menatzad, and therefore we're saying it's okay. Rablaz Batei says, Teich mekush of karkar, you stick into a spear into it, and the rest of the stuff moves, the muktzah moves by itself. Amar Nachman, halacha blaz batei, Nachman says, halacha blaz batei, that it's permissible to do tiltul menatzad. Says the Gemara, the Tzavar of Nachman, tiltul menatzad, leish me tiltul. Does that mean Rab Nachman holds that tiltal minatzad is not cool? Tiltal is not talking about paskas. Rav Nachman himself paskin died pulgla. Pulgla is a radish that was already, again, taken off the ground, and then it was put back into the ground for preservation purposes. Mamalu matashari. So radish let's picture that the radish is wider at the top and much more narrow at the bottom. So if you put it into the ground, mamata lamala shari, mamata lamala usr. if you put it in the ground right side up, then it's permissible because it's the wider pot is at the top. It gets more narrow as it gets lower. So when you're pulling out, you're not causing any of the dirt to move, the earth around to move. Whereas if it's opposite, if it's upside down, so the top part which is exposed is narrow and the bottom part which is in the ground is more wide. So when you lift it up, you're going to cause dirt that to move away. That's a problem. So why do you say it's a problem? Ask the Gemara, you're right. He's talking about chaser from his psak to gavi the radish. He was chaser to say that tiltum atzad is permissible. We're not makbid on tiltum in an indirect way. There's a key point that when we talk about muktza is a problem moving muktza directly. But if one moves muktza indirectly, we actually have this concept twice, at least twice. The mesechta here's one place where tiltum atzad comes more than twice. Meaning there's two concepts of moving muktza indirectly. One is over here where you're using your hands, which is a way to move things, but you're not directly touching the muktza. You're touching something which caused the muktza to move. And we're saying that's okay, tiltum atzad is permissible. Another concept we had earlier in the Masechta was, if a person moves muktza not with his hands, but rather with his body. When a person has muktza on a bed, he can use his body to move something away, move it off the bed, and we say it's not a problem of moving muktza, again, because that's also considered a form of, I don't know if Amar actually calls that, I forget if it was called tiltum atzad, but similar idea, you're not moving it directly with your hands the normal way, you're moving it indirectly. So either not touching it directly, moving it ayidei davar acher, right, causing it to indirectly move, to fall off, the fruit that you're picking up, or moving with the body, that's the case we had elsewhere, and that's going to be permissible, not an issue of muktza. But we said in the Mishnah, a needle of the hand to remove a splinter is mutter. The needle is typically used for sewing, and we're saying it's mutter to use to remove a splinter. Shalach le'rav and b'rei rav le'rabesif, yilam den rabbein, a teacher's rabbi. Macha shenita charara ay uktzamahu. A needle that was actually quickly before we see this, just one quick point in halacha from the Shulchan Aruch, that let's say you have a money on a chair. Let's say you have money on a chair. Obviously, we're talking about a case where the money wasn't put on the chair on purpose. If it was put on the chair on purpose, the chair becomes a bus, and the chair itself is mutter, as usher to move. We're talking about, we forgot, he left money on the chair, now Shabbos. He wants to get the money off the chair to use the chair. So the halacha is that if I shake the chair and the money falls off, that's a case of tiltum atzad, and that's permissible. However, Shulchan Aruch brings a very clear distinction in Siman Shin Yud Aleph, Sif Ches. He writes that if I'm doing it because I want to use the chair, I could do tiltum atzad, shake the money off the chair in order to use the chair to make the chair useful. That's permissible. But if I'm doing it in order to protect the money, I don't want the money exposed on the chair. I want to shake the chair, shake the money off on the floor so it should be more hidden or something. That again would be a problem because I'm doing it for the muktzah purposes. For the money, that's an issue. But to do it for the chair purposes would be mutter. I want to benefit. I want to use the chair. That's tiltum atzad. That is permissible. That is a classic case of tiltum atzad, which halacha l'maaseh is mutter. Again, of course, we didn't leave the money there on purpose. If you did, it would be a separate issue. The chair itself would be muktzah as a basis l'davar muktzah. Okay, so getting back to this Shaila, we had a Shaila that Rava asked Rabbi Yosef, what about a needle that the eye, or the point was removed from the needle? So you still have the stick, but it doesn't have the normal usage for sewing. Is it still considered a kli or not? Mahu. Is it considered a kli or does it become muktzah? Amalei Tanisua, we learned it in our Mishnah. Machash Yadli Tabas HaKeitz, we speak in our Mishnah about using a needle to remove a splinter. V'chi Mavchalon HaKeitz, Be'nikuva, Fe'nishenikuva. We're saying using a needle to remove a splinter is mutar on Shabbos. Now, what do I care about a needle that's coming to remove a splinter, whether or not it has the eye of the needle or the main point of the needle? As long as it can remove the splinter, it's fine. So we see that it still has the status of a kli to remove a splinter, even if it's missing the purposes. It doesn't have the characteristics needed to sew something. That was the raya of Rabbi Yosef from Mishnah. Eisvei. So Rabba asked Rabbi Yosef from the following Mishnah. Machat shenitel. We say a needle where the eye was removed or the point is removed, it loses the status of a kli, and since it loses the status of a kli, it does not become tummy. It's not step of a tumma. We see clearly that not like what Rabbi Yosef was answering, that it retains the status of a kli because it can remove splinters. We see once it's missing the needle, the new point or the eye, it no longer has the status of a kli. Amar Abayis, Abayis answered back the question against Rabbi Yosef. He answered on behalf of Rabbi Yosef. Tuma Shabbos Karemis. You bring me a question from the halachas of Tumas, the dinah of Shabbos. Tuma kli ma'isa be'inan. Tuma kli is not just is considered a kli for tuma only if it can be used for its for its real a real purpose. It has to be a properly fashioned kli. Whereas the Shabbos mitid chazminan. Shabbos would discuss the katz of a mukta. Anything which is useful is not mukta. So legabe mukta, as long as it's useful, it's not considered mukta. Legabe kli being a real kli, it's only considered kli if it could serve the purpose that's normally fashioned for by a needle. It could be used for sewing and the like. Therefore, it's a kli. If it can't be used for it's normally fashioned for, it's not called a kli. Legabe tuma is different than the criteria legabe Shabbos. Says the Gemara on legabe Shabbos. And by Shabbos, since it's fit to take on a splinter, therefore the status of a kli. So don't ask me a question from Tuma to Shabbos. Amar Rava. Rava argues, and Rava says, Madlik HaMaisiv, Shabbat HaMaisiv. The question that was asked against Rabbi Yosef was a good question. The question from Tuma to Shabbos is a valid question. Madlik Tuma Lamanu, Lin Shabbos Nami Lamanu. From the fact that it's not a kli, the Gabi Tuma, it's not a kli, the Gabi Shabbos, and therefore it's a question that should be considered Muksa. Rava is arguing, Rava is saying that the Kasha of Rava Bar Rabba against Rabbi Yosef is a valid question. Why are you saying that it's okay to use a kli, a needle, on Shabbos if it doesn't have an eye or a point, since it could be used to take a splinter? It's not considered muktzah. On the contrary, since the gabi tuma is not considered kli, once it's not a kli, it should be considered muktzah, the gabi Shabbos as well. Meis face the bar kasha on Rava, macha bedikuva enshenikuva, mutl taltla b'Shabbos. There's a price that says black and white, like Rabbi Yosef's psak. A needle, whether it has a hole in it, whether it doesn't have a hole, an eye, doesn't have a hole at the top of the needle, either way, it's mutar Shabbos. Very clearly a distinction. Tafkal gabi tuma. Oh, he particularly has to have a hole in it to be considered a kli. But the gabi Shabbos, it need not have a hole in it. It's considered as usage and it's not muktzah. A clear raya like Rabbi Yosef's psak, and not like Rava, who agreed to the question from Tuma, who argued on Rabbi Yosef. Here we see that Tuma is different than Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Tirguma Abayalib Durava. Again, second time in 3 days we had this two Amram arguing, and the Amira who argues comes to the defense of the one of his Bar Plugta. Tirguma Abayalib Durava, Begulmia Skinan. In the Brights, we're talking about needles that weren't finished. Meaning, needles that weren't finished yet, over there, Zimdin Milchalayo Mashvilu Humana. Over there, sometimes he's gonna change his mind and designate them for just piercing, for taking care of splinters, and therefore it's considered a kli as such. There's a fundamental difference. A kli that never had an eye, a kli that never had a sharp point at the end of the needle, that could be used to remove splinters, since the person may change his mind and not finish the kli, he may leave it as such and choose to use it for purposes of removing splinters, that has a status of a kli, and that's not Muktzah Shabbos. But a kli that once was a needle, and the eye broke off, or the tip, the point, the sharp edge broke off, over there, once, ironically enough, was fit to be a needle, and now lost its for sewing, and now lost its status, a person takes that and he throws it amongst the scrap, he doesn't keep it, and therefore, Abai is answering for Rava that there's a fundamental difference. Rava was saying, let's go back first to the Braisa. The Braisa that says that a machet, whether it's a hole or not, is mutab talat Shabbos, is talking about it wasn't finished being fashioned yet. It was a mul being fashioned. It wasn't finished being made into a kli yet. Over there, the Gabi Tuma has no status of Tuma because it wasn't a finished kli yet. But the Gabi Shabbos, it can be considered useful because a person could decide, I'm going to use this just to remove splinters, and therefore the Gabi Shabbos has a status. But a needle that already was a full-fledged needle and now lost the eye of the needle, it lost the head of the needle, that is something a person typically scraps and throws away. Avada won't have it in a Tuma again, but that also, even the Gabi Shabbos would yes be considered muktzah. Perhaps Abai and Anas agreeing to this chiluk, he's just saying the chiluk on behalf of Rava, and therefore we have no kasha on Rava. We leave it as a machlekes where they're needed that lost. It's lost its eye or lost its point if it's considered muktzah Shabbos or not. Seemingly, a needle that never had the eye or never had the needle, that everyone seemed to agree that we have at least a braisa saying that would not be a problem muktzah Shabbos because it could be used for taking out a splinter. Asacha Yenucha. Now we get the new discussion about lining up, straightening out the limbs of a child. That is how Rashi explains it. The Aruch says, it's a whole different case of here. Asacha Yenucha means when a baby's born, sometimes they suction out of the baby, like the phlegm out of the baby, in order to breathe properly. So two different ways of fixing up a baby. Either straightening the limbs or suctioning out the phlegm to help the baby breathe better. Or Nachman us, Rachman says, us to do on Shabbos. Obviously, if it's Pukh Nefesh, somebody forced to do on Shabbos, we're talking about Pukh Nefesh. Mashar Rashi says it's Mutter. Amrav Nachman, Rachman says, Maraminala. How do I know that it's usher to do this on Shabbos? Because you learned in the Mishnah, ain't Eisen a person can't make himself top of a maze apikuzin. It's a type of mixture that a person takes. Rashi says, top Rashi, lahaki. You drink a mashka in order to throw up, in order to clean out a system. A person wants to enjoy a geshmak, a meal, and he wants to empty his system, or he has something in his stomach that's bothering him. He wants to empty his system, so he's take this drink in order to throw up. You cannot do that on Shabbos. Accuse him Shabbos. So just like it's usher to take that drink on Shabbos because he wants to throw up, it's usher to arrange the baby's limbs as well. And Rashi explains because because we're treating this like some sort of Rashi says not mamish refuah. We're not talking about refuah here, but we're treating it like a tikkun gavra. It's misakin gavra, tikkun gavra, misakin mana is a problem on Shabbos. So not als refuah, als misakin mana. The Aruch who learned that the issue was suctioning out from the baby the phlegm fits very well with the idea of throwing up. It's a very similar concept. Okay, so Nachma says we see even there that it's also misakin mana, meaning it applies the idea of misakin mana on a person also on Shabbos. For Shesha says no, hasamav orchin over there, it's not normal. Hacha orchin, it's not normal for a person to cause himself to throw up. It's not part of the daily activities. He's doing it on purpose to empty his stomach or whatnot. That's considered unusual and that's prohibited on Shabbos. That's taka would be considered a special type misakin mana. But just having limbs in order is common practice. It's normal. It's the way a healthy person is, and therefore it's like feeding food. You see, a person can eat on Shabbos because he's being misakin his body. He's being misakin his body by eating food. Eating food and drinking drink is a normal thing that people do. It's part of life. So too, having a person's limbs, having the baby's limbs lined up, is a normal part of life, and therefore it's not considered misakin mana. Therefore, it's permissible on Shabbos. Amar Shesh Rav Minala. How do I know that's mutter? And this is why it comes up over here, because it circles back to our Mishnah. The Tan Machat Shead Litzbos. It creates. You could take the needle, a hand needle, to remove a splinter. We see that by removing a splinter, you're repairing the person. You're being misakin the person. We see normal things that are like food and drink, normal tikkun, is not considered misakin mana, misakin a person on Shabbos. Rav Nachman says, Hasam Pakid, over there, it's a pukkid, means it's like almost like a special pukkadin. Over there, it's an outside thing that's pukkid, that was put into the body. An outside thing put into the body, you're taking out because it's unusual. That is okay. That's not, you're right. That's not a classic misakin mana. You're removing something that's external from the body. Hachle pukkid, which over here by aligning the limbs of the body, it's not some outside thing. You're fixing the body itself internally, and therefore Nachman will say it's a problem. So again, we have machlekes of Nachman and of Sheshes, whether one can be misakin the limbs, the babies to be born, and the limbs were not all aligned because from the trauma of birth. Whether you let it be misakin those limbs in Shabbos, aligned with the baby in Shabbos, Nachman says he cannot. Well, misakin mana, and Rav Sheshes says that one may do that on Shabbos. Okay, Zok the Mishnah, Kadosh Azesim, short Mishnah Gemara, a stick. It was like a cane that was used to beat up the olives before you press it in order to help the process. So Kadosh Azesim, if you catch a bereshit b'kabatuma, if there's a knot at the top of the the cane to help crush the olives, then it's b'kabatuma. Vimlav, if it's just a regular straight stick without a knot at the end, without like a bump at the end of the stick, aim b'kabatuma, it's not b'kabatuma, 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 Shabbos. Either way, it could be moved on Shabbos. Either way, you let it move it around, you let it use it on Shabbos. Ask the Gemara l'gabi tuma. Amai, p'shut k'leitu. Why is it considered b'kabatuma? It's a piece of wood. It's a piece of wood, not just a piece of wood. It's a flat piece of wood. It has no base kibble. We know that when it comes to tuma, some metal, we said, even when it's flat, can be mekabel tuma. But wood, we typically say, has to have a base kibble. Has to be like a spoon, like a bowl. Has to have a base kibble to mekabel tuma. This stick does not have a base kibble. Why is it mekabel tuma if it's wood? My taima, Uber says, how do we know, by the way, that something has to have a base kibble to be kabbal tuma? To me, the sack meaning it's got to be similar to sack. We compare it to sack, and sack we say obviously sack has a base kibble. And the Gemara Tanim Shmuel Nechemia B'Shesh Rabbah Pazesim Hayv Chavit Roybay. When one turns over the olives with a cane, you could look into the upside down knot, and you see there's a little bit of like a cavity. And there's some stuff gathers in the cavity of the knot. So when you have a knot on top, you're right, if it would be a plain stick without a knot on top, it would not be septal for tuma. But when there's a knot on top, you get some oil or some olive forming in this cavity, and therefore it's considered a small base kibble, and therefore it is susceptible to tuma. The reason why obviously what comes over here is we're saying this cane is not considered klisha machlisser. This cane is, or I should take it back, it's not considered muktzah machlisser kiss, and this cane is not going to be muktzah. It's permissible to use it on Shabbos for other purposes as well. Rav Yosi Eimer Kon Kalim to tell them all kalim can be used on Shabbos chutz, and here's where we get to again this idea of kli muktzah machlisser kiss. All kelim could be used on Shabbos, chutz min hamasar gadol v'yasad hamachrisha, except for the large saw and the machrisha and the plower, the large saw and the plower. Those are kelim that cannot be used on Shabbos. More than elaborate. Amram Nachman, ha'ilchul katz v'yasad shemachrisha dami. This thing that was used by the launderer, ilchul was the launderer, is similar to this machrisha, similar to this plowing utensil, and it's mukta. Amar Baya Charba Dishkli, the tanner's knife, the sakina, the ishtachva, and the butcher's knife, also the chasina, the gani, and the carpenter's like sharp like edge. Giyaset shamachresha dami, also the similar to this machresha, and they're similar to these kalim that are meyuchid for their usage, for their work. they're considered muksamachasar kiss, and they're miachla, it's like a miachla makam, and therefore people are makbar in these things, and therefore they don't want all these things, by the way, notice this common denominator, they all have blades, and you're scared that the blades are going to be dulled, they're going to get damaged, and therefore in all these cases, you use it only for its proper usage, and therefore they are considered muksamachasar kiss. Talk about them. But now we get a little bit of a history of muksa. But I'm going to show you, and initially said only three kalim could be used on Shabbos. What are they? Maksusha tveil, the knife used for cutting press figs, zuma, listra, and shakdera, and the lady used for taking off the foam, the zuama, the foam from the top of a pot, the sakin katana shal gabeshochan, and a small knife for the table. Those are the three kalim that were mutter, all the kalim were aser. Hitir v'chaz v'tir v'chaz v'tir. They then went to matter. So when they originally made a gzera muksa, they made everything aser except for three things. And then they started to add the list of things that are mutter, ashiyemu, until they came to our parak, which was, kol hakalim tam shabbos, chutz min amasa gadol, v'yasim achish. Until they came to our parak, to our mishnah, where our parak starts off, kol hakalim amutter, and Rabbi Yossi adds to and says, kol hakalim tam, all kalim could be used on Shabbos, except for these kalim that are muksa machzor and kiss, that you specifically use it for their purpose, but all the kalim amutter. So we went all at the opposite extreme. We started off saying, all kalim amuksa are usr, besides for three kalim, and then they kept me matter until they got to a point where all kalim amutter, besides for kalim that are very specific usages. Manatir, v'chaz v'tir, v'chaz v'tir. Who was this? When did this happen? What does it mean? They were matter, matter, matter. I'm by itiru. Not man. Mai. What does it mean? They were matter, chazar, matter, chazar, matter. I'm Abaye. So Abaye says, here's the history. Hitiru davish machla heter tzerach gufay. First, they were matter a kli which is machla heter. They said a kli which is machla heter, and you're using it for a purpose of heter for its use. That is permissible. But kli machla was still lesser. For chazar tiru davish machla heter tzerach mekaymei. They then said a kli which is machla heter. You let him move it even if you just want the place. You want the place that's sitting in. You can move it. For chazar tiru davish machla iser. Then they were matter. We start off with today a kli machla iser, a kli which is machla for iser. They were matter also tzerach gufay in only for its usage, like using a hammer, let's say, a hammer which is normally used to do a malacha, which is Asher Shabbos, using it to break open a nut, they will matter, a kli shemach l'iser, for a purpose, for gufay, to use it for a mitzvah purpose is permissible, but not, let's say, mekaymei, let's say, gufay in, let's say, not lay, but not yet for its place, you can't move it, just use its place. V'adayim b'yad achas, in shtayad lay, and also, only with one hand, you can move these things, if you're able to with one hand, there's a mitzvah, but not if you need two hands. Asher, until they said, kol hakelim metolim b'shabbos, till they say, okay, I'm with b'shabbos, afi b'shayadayim, you're able to move it, okay, I'm with Shabbos, even with two yadayim, even if it takes two hands to move it, it's still going to be permissible. Those who have to go to chakras, davening is in 2 minutes. Amay Rava Michti Yatiru Ketani. Rava said the Bryce teaches us that they are matter. Why are you making distinction on a bayin between Tzerach Kufa and Tzerach Mekaymei? Elam Rava Tiru when they are matter. Hitiru Davish Malach Leiter Ben Tzerach Kufa and Tzerach Mekaymei. When they are matter, the Kalim which are Malach Leiter at the same time they are matter both Tzerach Kufa and Tzerach Mekaymei. Because Hitiru Mach Mechamal Tzel, they then were matter even Mechamal Tzel. Now this is talking about specifically a Kli Shemach Leiter, a Kli which is Malach as Mutter on Shabbos. You're allowed to even move it to protect the kli. You're allowed to move it from sun to shade on Shabbos. Who then from wild, from rain, and from snow. You're allowed to move it to protect it from the elements on Shabbos. That's by kli shemach leheter. V'chaz v'tiru davish shemach leiser. They then were matter kli shemach leiser. L'tzerach kufa tzerach mekaymei. So Rava doesn't separate madregas between tzerach kufa and tzerach mekaymei. Both tzerach kufa and mekaymei, you need it for its usage or for its place. That was mutter at once by kli shemach leiser as well. However, l'tzerach kufa and tzerach mekaymei in for its, they're matter it for its usage and for its place, but not mecham otzel loy. For mecham otzel, they were not matter it. V'adayim ba'adam echad im b'shtei ba'adam loy. And only one person can move it. That was in his mutter, but if you needed two people to remove it, that was still considered usher. Ad she'amar kol kem b'dom b'shabbos afi b'shtei ba'adam. Until they said, all kem b'dom b'shabbos, even when it is by two people. Yes, what do you mean? For the price we had earlier today, maducha, we had the mortar that was used to crush the garlic. If there's garlic in it, it can be metalted. Vim lav, but if there's no garlic in it, aim it out there. If there's no garlic in it, it can't be moved. Now, why can't I move it? L'chaira, according to you, I should be able to move it. L'tzerach mekaymei. Abaye said that klishmach l'iser is mutter l'tzerach kufay, but l'tzerach mekaymei is still going to be aser. According to Rava, why can't I move it? L'tzerach mekaymei. Hachmaskim mecham l'tzel. Rava will say you're right. If it was moving the mortar l'tzerach mekaymei, it would have been permissible. We're talking about case we wanted to move it to protect it from the elements, from the weather, mecham l'tzel, and that's a problem. Eis v'abaye said another kasha was top of this. V'shavin. Both v'shavin still agree. Again, we have this earlier in the daf. Shem katzav la basar. If you have this thing that was used for chopping meat, once you finished using on yantiv, it's usher. Again, Abai is understanding it to mean that it's usher even tzarek mekaymai. But according to you, Rava, that once it's mitzvah tzarek kufay, it's mitzvah tzarek kaymai as well. Why can't I move it from any other place? And Rava will get the same answer. You're right. Tzarek mekaymai would have been mutter over there. Talking about moving it tzarek mechamal tzel. Hachanami mechamal tzel. Trying to move it from the to protect from the elements. That's a problem. But according to Rava, moving it tzarek mekaymai is the same as moving it tzarek kufay, using it tzarek kufay, and that's permissible. According to Abaye, a klisha machta lister, the heter was only l'tzarech kufay, l'tzarech mekayme. We didn't have a heter. They didn't remove the restriction, and l'tzarech mekayme would remain usher by a klisha machta lister, according to Abaye. We'll pick up here in Mitzchem tomorrow.